Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Together, we're going to get through this, right? This heat wave of, I think you could call it historic proportions. It's not unusual to have 110, 111 every couple of years here, maybe a day or two. Usually it brings on the monsoon, but day after day in that kind of territory, you're talking a big time heat wave, even for Tucson, Arizona. Hope the day is going well for you so far. Ed Alexander and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, June 18th, 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, known as The Voice, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and the fine website here at the station, kvoi.com, also your source for the live stream and our podcasts and our complete show archive for everything we've, pretty much every show we've ever done here on the radio is available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have put together a full hour of content for you over this noon hour. We'll begin with Pima County Supervisor, Republican Allie Miller. She represents Pima County's first supervisorial district. Then at 12:30 or so, we will meet a gentleman by the name of Kelly Lawton. Mr. Lawton is running for the Tucson City Council in Ward 2. Then we close out the show with Randy Seraglio of the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. He'll be talking about this Oak Flat controversy. Find out what that is all about. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now on the live line Supervisor Allie Miller. Allie, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. What are you doing to keep cool?
I'm drinking a lot of water and eating snow cones.
All right. Keep pumping the liquids.
Yes.
Okay. We have a new county budget, $1.16 billion. You and Supervisor Carroll were the two dissenting votes. Your reasoning in voting no?
Well, with the record increase that the board voted on last year of 61 cents per $100 of assessed value for the highest property tax rate in history for Pima County, I felt very strongly that we should not be increasing the rate this year. And I've heard from taxpayers, from residential property owners, from business owners, and if we keep increasing the taxes, we are not going to get businesses to come here. Increased taxes is a deterrent to economic development. It's a deterrent to, expansion of businesses. And after last year's, I felt very strongly we should not be doing it again this year.
Mr. Huckleberry, the county administrator, along with the three board members who voted in favor of this budget, say really there isn't much choice because of the state forcing all of these cost cuts to the county.
Well, one of the things that, Mr. Huckleberry and the other members of the board and I will disagree on is calling these state cost shifts. Basically, the aggregate of all of the components of the primary tax rate have been in violation of the state constitution. We have been getting backfilled by the state for several years now for those overruns. And with that 61 cent increase last year, it made it even more exacerbated, and it made it very visible when the governor and the legislature went to cut spending. That was a line item for whatever reason, and I don't know what the rationale was for allowing Pima, and there was a slight problem in Pinal County as well, for allowing both of those counties to violate the Constitution and hold them harmless and then backfill to them the difference. The state has been basically subsidizing us, and now the state can no longer afford it. They did, in my opinion, the responsible thing by trying to get the budget and the state under control. And, Pima County can point fingers. That's all they do, Chuck Huckleberry and the rest of the board, point fingers all day long. We're going to have to deal with this, and we should have dealt with it this year.
Are you in favor of this, the county asking the Supreme Court to reverse that cost shift that could force as much as $18 million in education-related costs onto the county?
First of all, it's not. That's a misconception that it's education. In where I live, for example, I live in Marana Unified School District. So the components of my primary property tax are Pima County, Pima Community College, and Marana Unified School District, and those are not. Those are the three components of the primary rate. So it is not a cost shift. You know, Pima County and all of these other two districts, and you have to look at it school district by school district, and it was the aggregate of all of the components. You know, every school district, including Pima County and Pima Community College, basically. So that's why it's evaluated by school district, because some school districts have a lower rate than others. It isn't actually the school district that was overrunning. It is the aggregate total of all three of those districts in my case. And TUSD is one of the highest overrun districts of all of them, and TUSD has the highest rate. So you couple that with a huge increase last year with Pima County and Pima Community College last year. I'm not sure where they went, but you add those all together, and you end up with this overage. And so it's kind of calling it education. That is to be determined by the Property Tax Oversight Commission in September, October, whenever they meet. They are to define who absorbs what portion of that $18.6 million. That is the total. When you aggregate all of the school districts and look at the total amount that were in violation across the whole county, is $18.6 million, and it is to be determined who absorbs what portion of that.
So what kind of money are we talking about? I understand it's like 30 additional dollars in taxes per year if you have a valued home at like $152,000. You're not talking about a lot of money here, are you, Supervisor?
Well, you know, Bill, if you do it every year, and you have, the electric rates went up, the wastewater's coming up for another rate increase in August, you're adding bonds, you know, and that increases your secondary property tax. The library district property tax went from, it doubled in 5 years. From 2010, it was 26 cents per $100 of assessed value. It's now up to 52 cents with that 8-cent increase. You keep adding on and piling on the taxpayers, and every time you do it, you're hitting the taxpayers, you're hitting the businesses, and I would like to note that the businesses are not protected by that 1% cap. It's only residential properties. So the businesses are getting hit nine ways to Sunday, and eventually, you know, you're not going to get business coming here. And it may sound like, oh, it's only $30 for the average $152,000 home. What about the $300,000 home? You know, you start looking at this, and it is putting people over the edge in terms of being able to afford to stay here. I did get an email from a business owner in District 2. He told me he has 30 employees, and this was prior to the vote on the tax increase. He said, if you vote for another tax increase, I can no longer afford to stay in Pima County, and he's looking at moving north to Maricopa. We're not attracting businesses because of our taxes, and every year we call it, oh, it's just another $30. It's just another latte. That isn't flying with people anymore.
Well, against this background, we have the bond election coming up, and right. you're very, very much on record against all of the bonds, all 8 of them, correct?
Yeah. There's 8 propositions.
Eight propositions, including one that some folks might find your opposition to curious because of your very vocal support of criticism, I should say, of about our roads. And there is a bond issue, a proposition that would go to fixing the roads.
Right. The reason I'm against that is because, number one, we're not using the highway user revenue funds for what it is meant to be used for. That's step one. We need to get those funds to be used for road repairs. It's being used to subsidize and pay the salaries of the people in the Department of Transportation, salaries and overhead. It's being used for transit, for RTA, $6 million being transferred over there. If you have Chuck Huckleberry's chart, just look at it. You'll see that the monies aren't getting to road repairs. And on average, the last 10 years, Bill, we've gotten $53 million per year back. And the county uses pays part of it for the HERF bonds from 1997. And they haven't been putting the money towards roads where it is supposed to go. So there's my first objection. The second objection is it's like mortgaging your house to pay for, road repair, your electric bill. So you're paying interest on road repairs, and I still will disagree with Mr. Huckleberry that a road overlay lasts for 50 years. It does not, and we all know that. We see how long the road repairs last in Pima County. I don't need to tell people. You're going to be paying off 10, 15-year bonds for a road repair that lasts maybe 2 to 3 years. That doesn't make sense to me. You're going to be paying interest on it, and then the road's going to be falling apart before you pay for it. So that makes no sense to me. We need to use the HERF money where it was meant to be used, and we wouldn't be in the problem we're in. The Department of Transportation director came before the board during our budget hearings. She stated that they are expecting an 8% increase in HERF revenue this year. She stated that the state of Arizona is not sweeping any money from Pima County HERF revenue this year, zero. And she also stated that they are doing zero pavement preservation this year. So, the money's not getting to where it needs to go.
All right. Allie Miller is with us. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. You can join in the conversation, and we welcome you at 790-2040. Supervisor Miller has graciously accepted our invitation to stick around for a second segment. We'll be right back after we hear from the fine lineup of people who make our show possible. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview with Adelita Grijalva. She's the president of the TUSD Governing Board. The roundtable features Mari Herreras of The Weekly and Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star, Buckmaster. It's noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Twenty now on the Buckmaster Show, where it's already, 104 degrees, something like that, as we push toward, 110, somewhere up in those stratospheric temperatures conditions. Allie Miller, Pima County Supervisor, Republican District 1, is with us on the live line, and Tom has been waiting very patiently at 790-2040. Tom, you're with Supervisor Allie Miller.
Good afternoon. I have a question about whose financial institution benefits by producing the bonds for the county?
All of our bonds are through the Royal Bank of Canada.
Oh, okay.
They're issued through. And I did ask the question a while back if we had the underwriter was separate and we had a separate advisor. My understanding is that we do not, and I do still question that we may be doing a better job on the interest rates on our bonds.
Tom, do you have a follow-up on that? Are you surprised?
I actually do. My question is, the other one was the reason for my call earlier was when you talked about how long the roads last, why is it that when the road contracts are created that there is not a this highway service by sign, and they have a 5-year you fix it included in the contract?
Well, I think that's a great idea. I would like to see that happen. That would be great to put a sign up of which contractor did it. I just see the quality of the repairs, and I think most of the taxpayers do, and they understand they're not doing them in a way that they last more than one rainstorm. You see potholes filled, you get the next rainstorm, they're popped right back out. And when they last for, just that short period of time, and we have the monsoons to deal with, you know how frustrating that is? We're constantly getting calls. You got to go back in and fill the ones you just filled. They do a terrible job filling them. I see them on the trucks, and they're throwing shovels full of, black tar material. They just throw it into the pothole without doing the prep necessary to make them last and to make them be a long-term solution.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, thank you so very much.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tom. And just a point of clarification, Allie, as you know, Supervisor Chuck Huckleberry, the administrator, strongly disagrees with you about the road repair longevity, saying he's never seen a road repair that only lasted 2 or 3 years.
I'll let the taxpayers and the citizens that are out there driving on the roads right now, they've seen it. I'll let them be the judge of that. I think they can figure that out on their own. And he does strongly disagree with me. I think when I heard him on your show, I believe he said that a road repair lasts 50 years. I believe the last time he was on your show, he said 50 years.
I'm not sure if he said 50, but I know he said it's certainly more than 2 or 3.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And, getting back to these bonds and talking about the rest of the bonds, just as an example, Bill, the Proposition 415, the voters approved that, and City of Tucson came out in support of it. The amount that the City of Tucson's billing went up from last year to this year is $1.2 million. Last year it was $3.7 million. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to $4.9 million. The City of Tucson cannot afford it. They're balking at that. And so now they're dependent upon donations to the Pima Animal Care Center to pay for the City of Tucson's spay and neuter costs. And that is not a good position to be in, relying on donations to pay for it. And so if they aren't able to pay, you know who's going to be absorbing the costs is the Pima County property taxpayers. And in addition to that, the Federal Reserve is already telescoping an increase in interest rates, and I believe that will happen. We're $18 trillion in debt at the national level, and our lenders, China, et cetera, are not going to continue lending us this money at these low interest rates, and they're already telescoping that. The operations and maintenance cost, as I just said on this one, Oh, by the way, the Pima Animal Care Center, they haven't even broken ground on it. They hired some employees, a veterinarian, a director, an assistant director, some other employees, and now when that building is completed and built, you've got to maintain it, you've got to pay the electricity, you've got to clean the floors, on and on. So that's going to increase, and with the new no-kill philosophy, you're keeping animals for longer terms. So as that gets open and you're keeping more animals, the city of Tucson can expect it to be a higher cost.
Okay.
And then we have these new bonds coming up. So if they can't afford to pay their operations and maintenance on this $22 million bond before it even gets off the ground,
okay,
these projects have $5 million of operations and maintenance costs for the city of Tucson. That's estimated by Mr. Huckleberry, which I believe is underestimated. But let's just say that's the number. They can't afford a $1.2 million increase. It's going to be $5 million more if their projects are built out.
All right, Ken. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Ken has been waiting, and I'd like him to join in here because he has a comment on the live line at 790-2040, and he wants to pick up on the road work discussion. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I used to work for a construction company, and I did some of the work on some of these roads that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sat with the inspectors asking them, you know, what's the deal with the road patching? You know, they go out there, they scoop the water out of the hole, and they throw the, you know, cold patch in it. And if I accidentally damage a road, I have to take and cut the road and, you know, pack AB concrete depending on which road patch it is and all. And he just sat there and laughed. It's a sad commentary, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. The quality of those patches, I mean, I see them. They'll last a few weeks, and they're popping right back out, and they need to be done. I mean, I think there needs to be someone that looks at that from a financial perspective. First of all, you should be more responsible and not do a repair like that. But are we doing the proper repair to make it last for some term before we need to do the overlay on the road? And I can tell you, in my neighborhood, they get thrown in, and a few days later, it's popping out all over the place. So I agree with you, and they do. If a contractor does have to do something on the road, yes, they do make you go to the full expense of having to do concrete and make sure that that patch is in there in a very solid fashion. You can't just go and throw a shovel full of patch repair in a pothole or in your where you've done work. It has to be much higher quality. So I would like to see the county up there quality control and do a better job on those.
You know, I like that caller's idea about the guarantee on the sign.
I do too.
Yeah,
I think that's great.
Actually,
putting their name on the road.
And, this project was done by such and such construction company, which guarantees for 5 years. I don't know how many years, but put a guarantee on it.
You know, and that's the thing. Theoretically, these roads, when they do an overlay, are supposed to last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they last that long. The ones I've seen don't last that long. But, you know, getting back to the operations and maintenance costs on these bonds, City of Tucson already can't afford a $1.2 million. And you start looking, Pima County, we're howling. We have to raise taxes every year. And if we get another $6 million, and I'm going with Chuck's low numbers here, I don't think they're accurate, but you just incorporate that in there, and we're looking at more tax increases. And that is what's going to happen with these bonds. You're going to have higher property taxes, and people need to know not just to pay for the bonds, but your primary taxes are going to continue to increase as we pay for these operations and maintenance costs, which means we have less money for other things. And I don't know if you saw the meeting, but we had sheriff's deputies in there. They haven't gotten the step pay increases they were promised for 8 years. And we focus on, you know, last year, the first day of the fiscal year, rather than, you know, ensure that we're taking care of our core responsibility, we bought $16 million worth of land. And it's these kind of expenditures that year after year, we're not paying attention to the core services that we should be providing, which are good roads and public safety.
Okay.
Those are the two primary things we should be focused on.
And I am focused on trying to get one more caller in here,
okay.
Supervisor Miller. We have Keith, who has a comment about the bonds. Go ahead. Keith, hi.
I just got to say, I'm, you know, just a property owner, just a guy starting a small business, wants to take it to a medium-sized business, maybe even beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dealing with the city and the county for the last 16 years. More than likely, this bond will get passed. Just look at the voting record of the area.
Okay.
I want to ask, has anybody asked the question, what percentage of your high-end, you know, high-income resident is just going to say bye-bye?
I will say, Keith, that I'm hearing that more and more, and it's from some people who I consider the optimists. And when I hear them start to go, you know, I'm not married to Pima County, I can't continue to live in a community where they're just taking the money out of my pocket, out of my home that I invested in year after year, and there's never any solution except for they have two solutions, tax increases and pointing the finger at somebody else. It's their fault. I've never heard anybody take responsibility and say, you're right, we need to cut back, just like our sheriff deputies do, just like the people who live in this community. I hear from people who are having to cut back on the necessities. Sheriff deputy were in there talking about daycare. They can't afford the daycare. They're having to cut back on, they're having to get money for food from their family members to be able to put food on the table for their children. Mm. That's when you know we are in a serious problem in this community. And if we don't address the core services and the things we should be addressing before all of these nice-to-haves, I'm not saying all of these things are really nice-to-have, but it's not the time to be doing it.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it on that note. Supervisor Allie Miller, I hope you have a great afternoon and a nice weekend coming up.
Okay, you too. Stay cool.
Okay, thanks a lot. Allie Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:31 on this very warm, hot, that's a better word, Thursday afternoon. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. In an effort to keep all of our listeners informed, of course, we have a city council election be coming up in the fall. The primary won't be all that interesting, but certainly the general election will, because we have contested seats in Ward 1, 2, and 4. And let's focus now on Ward number 2. Kelly Lawton joins us here in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Kelly is the Tucson Campus Director at Emory Riddle Aeronautical University, and he's challenging incumbent Democrat Paul Cunningham in Ward number 2. Kelly, how are you?
Good. Good morning. Thank you.
Why did you get involved in this? I'm assuming, I don't know about your political background, but I'm kind of assuming this is your first shot at politics.
Oh, yep. You're correct. Why did I get involved? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I am a native Tucsonan. I grew up in Tucson. Went to school here and started an aviation career in Tucson. Most equally important is I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I see, some issues that need to be addressed that year over year over year have continued to be, pushed to the side. Our citizens are not being prioritized, in my opinion. We look at roads, we look at parks, we look at infrastructure, police, fire. There's a lot of issues that are impacting our quality of life. And big picture, the financial piece, we're looking at pretty significant financial negatives looking forward.
Your background, you said you grew up here, and then why did you and how did you get into the aviation industry, Kelly?
Well, I'll tell you, my dad is a career Air Force man. He retired after 23 years, being stationed, actually beginning and ending his career at Davis-Monthan. And being, a dependent of a service member, Air Force in particular, you're there. You're around the airplanes. You're around, that's the environment in which you live, and that became a passion for me. And I pretty much instilled that passion and started my own pursuit, working for TWA in the early or latter part of the 80s, and then finishing with Delta Airlines about 8 years ago.
Were you in customer service?
Yep, absolutely. I started actually with TWA working below wing, loading bags.
Really?
Absolutely. Working the ramp. And then when TWA actually left Tucson, I was given an opportunity to go to work for Delta and here in Tucson. And I worked below wing, and I got above wing, and then managed my way to Atlanta, Georgia, where I worked in training and organizational development.
Well, I will say, and I've traveled a wee bit and been on probably maybe 75 or 80 different airlines all over the world, that TWA back in the day had some great flights on TWA and those Lockheed L-1011. And one thing that I remember about TWA, they really did care about customer service.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, back in the day, the flight attendants actually went to etiquette school.
Really?
Service was priority, mm-hmm. Customer service. And now the airlines, the business models changed significantly with low fare marketing and, looking at no frills. And, so you lost a lot of that. But there are some airlines that do take pride in the service that they provide, given, kind of the environment that we're operating in nowadays. But, things have changed considerably.
So translating service to the city of Tucson, they are service providers.
They are service providers, yeah. The city of Tucson is, and the council members should and are the ambassadors of providing service to the citizens of Tucson. As such, we have to connect the dots between what's in the best interest of our citizens, providing a good quality city, police, fire, again, parks, recreation, infrastructure, and most importantly, an economy, a vibrant economy that provides jobs and opportunity.
Kelly, I think, and we regularly interview all of the council members here on my show, and they will tell you they're trying the best they can with the resources that they have available, that it gets back down to money.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Money is the bottom line, but there is a viable solution to that, is that you have to increase your revenue. We cannot continue to tax and spend and borrow. We need to really, really study how we can be effective as city leaders and look at revenue opportunities. We've missed a lot of great opportunities, Grand Canyon University, Tesla. And over the years that I've lived in Tucson, I mean, great companies have left here. Gates Learjet moved back to Kansas City, or to Wichita, I should say. IBM left and went to Minnesota. And even parts of Raytheon are leaving and going to Huntsville, Alabama. So what are we doing to retain those folks? What are we doing to incentivize and to draw new business here? That is key to our survival. The economics of increasing opportunity here and providing real revenue stream is imperative.
How do you do that?
Again, got to create some jobs. You've got to incentivize. You have to be able to partner with city leaders, those that are charged with actually getting out there, and the job creators. We should not be standing in the way of opportunity. We need to facilitate, collaborate, encourage, and support opportunities. We shouldn't be poo-pooing and shucking any opportunity. We need to look at the viability of their business plans, what they bring to the table for our citizens, and be proactively involved in encouraging that growth and that investment.
Can one Republican or presumably three make a difference on the board?
Absolutely.
On the council.
There is no doubt in my mind, and we are geared to make that change. Three folks, Bill Hunt, myself, and Margaret Burkholder, are focused at bringing proactive solutions to city council. Our intention and our goal is to really, really, really focus on the issues, the hard issues, and stand united front for the best interests of Tucson and our citizens.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. The number is 790-2040, and Jim Kelly, our friend Jim, is with us, and he'd like to weigh in with Mr. Lawton, Kelly Lawton, with us. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, Kelly. It's good to talk to you. I'm going to pretty much ask you the same question I asked Bill Hunt the other day. That is, the city council has a bad habit of kicking their issues down the road, particularly if they have anything to do with finances. What are some of the big issues that you think should be dealt with immediately upon being elected to the city council?
Thank you for the question, and it is a great question. Kicking the can down the road, boy, it seems to be synonymous with the past 10 years of this leadership there, and I liken it to reactive leadership, because we don't ever really find any long-term viable solutions, no proactive solutions. The first and foremost, we really, the unfortunate piece here is they've passed a budget, that's going into 16 that we're really going to have to adhere to. However, looking at cost centers and looking at viability and working with the city manager and the budget folks after this, I mean, we really, really, really have to lean down. We have to look at spending. We have to look at reducing the debt. And again, we have to really concentrate on, look, we can't continue to raise property tax. We can't, these costs cannot be pushed back to our citizens. We need to be proactively involved in looking for viable solutions, increasing our revenue, providing jobs, providing opportunity, and creating a better place to live in Tucson.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for calling on the live line, and we'll extend an invitation certainly to your opponent. Mr. Cunningham will be on the program in the near future, and then it'll be my wish, and hopefully you and Paul will agree, to sit down here on the show for a half an hour in the fall, and we'll go over the issues.
Love it.
Kelly Lawton, thank you very much. And for folks that don't know about Emory Riddle Aeronautical University, it started by
Mr. Emery and Mr. Riddle, or Miss Emery, or who are these
Mr.
people?
And Mrs.
Okay, yeah. All right. Or,
no, Mr. and Mr.
give me the real quick one, will you, on this yep. university?
Mr. Emery and Mr. Riddle, both aviation pioneers, started training folks, Army Air Corps, back in the 20s. And like most airlines, actually, you know, we're byproducts of the war. And World War II, and started out as a small training school out in Florida, and now we are the world's premier aviation university with 150 worldwide locations, with two residential campuses, one in Daytona Beach and one in Prescott.
Okay, Kelly Lawton, thank you very much. What's your website?
We do have a candidates page at pimagop.org. You can also visit me online at Facebook, Lawton for Tucson, and follow me on Twitter at Lawton 4.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back on this Thursday edition. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Well,
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City. Silver City, what a great place to go right now to get away from the heat. It's a beautiful climate over there, about 6,000-7,000 feet. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. You can hike in the Gila National Wilderness, and the nights are very pleasant. Downtown Silver City is very cool with all its galleries, antique stores, and museums, and restaurants. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, and there are really many nice places to stay in the area. They're all listed on the website, including a Bear Mountain Lodge and Little Toad Creek Inn are just a couple of the great places to stay. So they've got the full list of places to stay and things to do. Let's welcome now our friend Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, which is based here in Tucson. Previously, they were based in Silver City, New Mexico, right?
Yeah, that's where we got our start over there in the Gila.
In the Gila, in Silver City. And Randy, we want to talk a little bit about something that has been sort of getting some national publicity. New York Times had a pretty good piece, selling off Apache Holy Land. That was an op-ed piece put together by Lydia Millett, who works with you, one of your colleagues at
yes,
the center.
Yes, she does.
But what is this controversy about, this Oak Flat controversy?
Well, for many years now, Rio Tinto, through its subsidiary Resolution Copper Company, has tried to obtain Oak Flat to do a massive copper mine there. A dozen times legislation was defeated in Congress that would have enabled them to get a land swap so they could hold this land privately. And last December, thanks to Senator John McCain and some other members of Arizona's delegation, a rider was snuck into the National Defense Authorization Act, trading away Oak Flat to Rio Tinto Mining Company. And, you know, it has nothing to do with military affairs or national security or anything like that. This was just John McCain's way of circumventing the democratic process to get what he wanted, to serve a major corporate donor.
This is sacred Native American land. What kind of background can you tell us about?
Well, you know, several Apache tribes have used this area for centuries for food, for water. They used to live there before they were moved on to reservations. This is a sacred site, a place essentially where they go to practice their religion. They do coming of age ceremonies there and other really important things to Apache culture. And, you know, for John McCain to trade this land away, you know, without any consultation with Apache tribes or you know, any kind of respect for the meaning and the importance of this area.
Why did he say he did this?
Well, you know, John McCain thinks that it's more important to have a copper mine and make this company happy than it is to respect Apache people. I mean, that's pretty clear. But if you look at opensecrets.org and other watchdog groups, you know, John McCain is the biggest recipient of Rio Tinto campaign cash of anybody in Congress. So it's pretty clear why he did it.
Resolution Copper is co-owned by the multinational mining conglomerates Rio Tinto and BHP.
Yes. Rio Tinto has the controlling interest, and BHP is also a partner.
So yesterday, Congressman Grijalva, who is the ranking member, what is the committee that he is?
Natural Resources.
Yeah, ranking member, introduced the Save Oak Flat Act, which would, I guess, repeal this recent congressional giveaway.
Yes, and this is a very important piece of legislation. This brings the issue back out into the light where it belongs, instead of a midnight rider on the defense bill, the way John McCain treated it. And as I said, I mean, you know, that land swap was defeated a dozen times before. So now begins the process of building co-sponsors on that bill and eventually, hopefully getting a vote to overturn this land swap and make that public land once again. It's part of the Tonto National Forest. So it's a sacred site for the Apache, but it's also a hugely valued area for recreational opportunities. It's a world-class climbing site, excellent birding. There's endangered species there. I mean, it's so valuable to Americans, you know, just as it is, as public lands, as part of the Tonto National Forest. And of course, you know, to the Apache people, it's sacred.
The Apache people have been demonstrating. They've been holding some vigils, correct? Actually, that go back to February.
Yeah, there was a march from San Carlos to Oak Flat, which is just a few miles east of Superior, Arizona, and that was 44 miles. And then they initiated an occupation of Oak Flat Campground. It's a very popular campground there, and they have been there ever since for months now. And you know, it's an ongoing act of resistance to this terrible betrayal by the U.S. government, and it's not going to end until justice is served.
And how big a property are they talking about? How big a copper mine?
This copper mine is very unusual in that the ore body lies many thousands of feet below the ground, and they're going to do a special technique called block cave. So they're going to excavate this massive hole way underground, and they're going to take all that waste and dump it all over thousands of acres of public land somewhere else on the Tonto National Forest. And after they do that, the overlying land on the surface will sink in and form a huge crater, roughly the size of the Winslow Meteor Crater. It'll be about 2 miles across and at least 1,000 feet deep. The area will be unsafe. It'll be destroyed. I mean, you'll never be able to use it again for anything.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. Let's go now to the live line, and Roger has a comment. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, when you're discussing this, though, you'd have a lot more credibility if you'd bring all the facts to the table, like how many private sector jobs does this create? How much revenue is this going to bring into the state of Arizona and help out with our schools, our education system? How much money does this area produce right now? And by arguing your case with Grijalva at the forefront, the guy who said to boycott Arizona and attempted to wipe out jobs in Arizona, it makes your case less creditable to those of us.
Okay. Well, there's a couple things that we can say to that question. Number one, block cave mining is a really dangerous deep underground affair that requires mostly automated equipment to get it done. So very few jobs here. And in fact, Retired Miners and Concerned Citizens Coalition of Superior and the Town of Superior, which is a historically a mining town, oppose this land swap for that very reason. It's not going to benefit their community. Those are the people who would ostensibly get these jobs and be happy with them, but they are against this land swap. Secondly, outdoor recreation in Arizona is a $10 billion industry, which dwarfs the impact that mining has on our state. And of course, you know, outdoor recreation is a sustainable industry. It does not create the kind of massive destruction that this copper mine would create. You know, and just philosophically, I would have to question the notion of slavishly giving away public lands just so you can create a couple hundred jobs. You know, these lands are important to all people, to all taxpayers who use these lands, who own these lands, and they should be managed with that in mind, not traded away to foreign mining companies to satisfy their bottom line.
How about the third point about the credibility of Congressman Grijalva? Roger was bringing that up.
Yeah, well, you know, the credibility of Senator McCain and Senator Flake are definitely in question. Senator Flake actually worked as a registered lobbyist for Rio Tinto in the past. He also supported that land swap last December. Senator McCain takes huge amounts of campaign contributions from Rio Tinto. I mean, they're just servicing a foreign corporation at the expense of the interests of the American people. If that's not a lack of integrity, I don't know what is.
So where is this going right now?
So the bill has been introduced. It already has Republican and Democratic co-sponsors. I'm sure we're going to have a robust list of bipartisan supporters as we move through this process. There will be a big event in D.C. Next month to really ramp up the lobbying on this bill. There is a Tucson Support Oak Flat group, that there will be a meeting tonight, actually, at 225 East 26th. It's the Global Justice Center in South Tucson. So folks can show up to that and get involved. You can also go to...
Do you have anything on your website?
We have some things about our mining campaigns in general on our website, and Oak Flat is one of them. We have an action alert up on our website right now. You can write to the Secretaries of Interior and Agriculture, asking them to weigh in on this. And very soon, we'll have an alert out to support the Grijalva bill to repeal the legislation. You can also go to apache-stronghold.com. That is the website for the occupation at Oak Flat Campground, and you can learn more about all the many ways that this land is extremely important to Apache.
It's been important to the government, too, actually. It had protections, I think, that go back to President Eisenhower.
That's right.
1955.
That's right. Dwight D. Eisenhower removed this land from mineral. It was a mineral withdrawal. It said no mining can occur there because of its special meaning and its importance to the American people. And, you know, Rio Tinto's way of getting around that was to engineer this sneaky little sleazy land swap deal in Congress last December.
Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Mike Shaw has his 4 Tucson at 4 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe will be back at it. The Daily Double with Christy Simone is from 8 to 9. I'll be back, Bill Buckmaster, with you for our Friday Focus interview. TUSD President of the Board, Adelita Grijalva, will be with us. That's coming up tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24-7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.